Our scripture this morning is found in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, and verse 31 through 33, and then we'll skip to verse 44 and read to verse 52. And this is what the Word of God says in the Gospel according to Matthew. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we hear the word of God this morning, we've heard the story of the mustard seed. We've heard the parable about yeast. We've talked about the money that was hidden in a field. We've talked about the person who searched for a pearl of great price. And we talked about the fish that were caught in the net. The question is, how do we get to realizing the kingdom of heaven in us? Realizing the kingdom of heaven in us. Have you ever been looking for something and didn't know where to find it? It's not uncommon, especially when you're looking for something rare and unusual. In today's world of high-speed internet, the quickest way to find something is go to Google or Safari, type in what you're searching for, and wait for the answers to pop up. And those tools may point you in the right direction or give you a hint about what you're searching for, but they may not direct you to the right source with exactly what you're looking for. And of course, there's always Amazon. They have a plethora of just what you need. However, you may not get the best there is to offer to do exactly what you need it to do. And with all the scams going on, it's difficult to know which source to trust. I Googled the kingdom of heaven, only to find out that its most prominent location was a movie of the same name made in 2005. And yes, there were also some intellectual references to what it meant and biblical references to where it was located in the Bible, but I was still left pretty much in the dark. So I decided to go to the source where it's talked about the most and get a more detailed account. I went into the Bible and found that Jesus told a lot of parables about the kingdom to help us know what it was, what it was like, where it was, how to find it, its intrinsic value, not according to Dow Jones and NASDAQ reports, but according to the Word of God. So let everyone who has ears to hear, hear. Jesus has said from the beginning of his ministry that he would be teaching the disciples in parables. And now Matthew has recorded in his gospel Jesus' parables describing the kingdom of heaven running consecutively throughout his account. So in our scripture this morning, we hear only a part of Jesus' opening salvo of these parables stating, "The kingdom of heaven is like." The kingdom of heaven is like. His statement comes as an invitation to fix in our minds what God's kingdom is really all about. He begins by comparing it to a mustard seed, which gives us a picture of its initial size. It's a little bitty thing. But he also suggests that the mustard seed doesn't remain small. It grows to become one of the largest trees in the garden. The mustard seed parable is designed to teach us that a humble beginning has the potential of ending up with a grand and glorious destiny. Jesus then points to the kingdom of heaven and likens it to yeast. He reverses the common evil connotation associated with yeast for the purpose of, once again, prompting the crowd to try to understand the presence of the kingdom. Anybody who has tried to bake bread and maybe left out the yeast or the water was too hot and killed the yeast knows that if the yeast ain't working, the bread won't rise. All you end up with is a pot full of flour and water, and I don't know what you do with it. Scripture uses leaven almost exclusively as a negative metaphor, probably because fermentation implied disintegration and corruption. But Jesus uses yeast to symbolize the positive, hidden saturation of the kingdom of heaven in this world. Jesus' arrival did not bring the expected immediate external dramatic change. So his parable teaches the crowd that they must not let the present inconspicuous form of the kingdom fool them and prevent them from understanding that its final result will blossom and grow because yeast is living and active, and what it touches, it will bring alive. He then likens the kingdom of heaven in two different ways to describe its incredible value. One happens upon it and finds it back by accident. The other is searching for it. And yet both recognize the immeasurable value of the treasure. And unlike the rich man who was told to sell everything he had and follow Jesus but walked away because he had a lot of stuff, these two persons risk selling everything they own just to gain possession of the kingdom. And finally, there's the net. The net is like the kingdom of God with all kinds of fish in it. But when they drew it ashore, they found that some were worth keeping and some were not. Now, I don't know what the determining factors were for determining which were good and worth keeping and which were not and were thrown out. And our text doesn't say. But Jesus is clear that there will be a judgment and some will make it. Others will not. And it's not up to the fish to judge. That determination belongs to God. But Jesus wants to make sure the disciples fully understand what he's telling them He wants to make certain that they're getting it right, because he likens them to teachers of the law who have been personally trained and mentored by him. And because of their training, they are now able to connect the treasures of the new covenant with the treasures of what are found in the old covenant. They're now, because of who he is, able to pass on the immeasurable riches of the Hebrew covenant with the priceless grace of God found in the New Testament. And after Jesus said all of these things, he left that place. And that is our word for today. It seems like the questionnaire for reading a text that is thousands of years old always comes back to, what does that have to do with us? And the reality is, if it has nothing to do with us, then it's just good reading and perhaps an interesting story, but it has no value to help us today. But God's word is eternal. And after all of these years, the human family hasn't changed that much. There are still people searching for the meaning of life. There are still people perpetuating a fraud and perpetrating a fraud on other people, pretending to be someone or something that they're not. And there are still people wondering about the kingdom of heaven, where it is, what it's like, how to get there, and what to do when we find it. Those are all relevant questions, and Jesus' parables give us the answer to them all. You see, brothers and sisters, the mustard seed teaches us that something small, almost insignificant, barely visible to the human eye, something that has a humble beginning, also has the potential of ending up in a grand and glorious destiny. The kingdom of heaven starts small, but grows large enough to shelter those looking for rest from the burdens of the day. In short, the kingdom of heaven is not even close to what it shall grow into. But it's difficult to see that just looking at something so small. If you're blessed to have an experience of God's grace, can you remember when you first believed? Can you remember how little you really knew about God and Christ and the Bible and the Holy Spirit? And in many ways, we were like the mustard seed, infinitesimally small in our knowledge of God's word and truth, but we've grown significantly, not just in our knowledge of God, but in our understanding of what it is to live by faith. We must remember the promise God told Abraham, that Abraham's legacy and his progeny would end up as many as the stars in heaven. Abraham was small, just one man out of a whole world of men. But look at what righteousness by faith, the same faith as Father Abraham, has developed into. It would have been impossible to conceive at the time of God's promise. Abraham was over 100 years old. Sarai was also old and unable to bear children because of her age. But his faith, small, but filled with the potential of God's power to do exceedingly and abundantly more than all he could hope for or imagine. His faith, the size of a mustard seed, has grown into a family of believers who find shelter in the arms of their God, the arms of faith. We find shelter from the heat of the day's trouble before us. We're led by the still waters of God's peace. The mustard seed faith of Abraham has grown exponentially to allow thousands of 10,000 to find shelter within the tree of his faith. It was small, but it grew into something enormous. It is almost invisible, impossible to imagine that at the beginning of our faith journey, we were just little mustard seeds. But we were. And now, because of God's gift of grace, we've grown to be able to offer the shade of our growing mustard seed to offer to others who are able to seek shade from the heat and the shelter in God's arms. We've become small but growing mustard seeds of faith that represent the kingdom of heaven. That's who we are. And like leaven in 60 pounds of wheat, the kingdom of heaven in us affects every part of who we are. It has become a living, active agent working within us, giving life to our mortal bodies and to our immortal spirits. And it grows within us secretly. Much like the mustard seed, it begins small, not with a grand spectacle, but with a hidden presence. It touches every part of who we are, giving life to every part of who we are, growing in every part of us, rising up in us until we grow to be more than we started out to be and everything that God has created us to be. You can't see it working. You can't look at another person and say, I see the Spirit working in him or her. You can only see the result of the work within us, causing our hopes, dreams, faith, lives, and spirits to rise. It's an invisible presence that allows those who watch to see the visible results. And when we find ourselves mixed into others' lives, we give them hope. We give the joy of the kingdom and the mercy of the kingdom and the power of the kingdom to hope for a better day, because that's the hope of the kingdom rising up in us. And because we saw it and recognized its worth, because we saw it and gave it an extremely high value, because we saw it and saw what a priceless jewel it was, some of us sold everything we had to get it. And the kingdom of heaven is worth selling everything we have to possess. How many times have we heard someone say, I'm not yet what I'm supposed to be, but I thank God that I'm not what I used to be. We've all got that story to tell. It's because God isn't through with us yet. We're still growing in our faith. We are still growing in our knowledge of the Word of God. We are still growing, invisibly growing, but growing nonetheless into the powerful representatives of the kingdom of heaven. We've each got a story to tell about what we've given up, something that we valued, whether it was drugs or alcohol or an unhealthy relationship of codependence or a life absent of God. We've all denied ourselves something to become members of the kingdom of heaven. We remember Christ's prerequisites for being in this ministry. And the first prerequisite was to deny ourselves. And we've all done that. We've all given up a part of ourselves to be a part of God. We all recognize the value of knowing Christ enough to know that it was better to live without who we were than to go and live in eternity without knowing who Christ is. And so we sold what we had. Perhaps not everything, but we sold enough of who we were to buy a little piece of heaven. And yet we still struggle at times to recognize the kingdom of heaven within us. Maybe one of the reasons we haven't recognized the kingdom of heaven within us is that we're still holding on to stuff we have, counting it as valuable as the grace God has given us. Perhaps we're hanging on for sentimental reasons. Perhaps we're hanging on because of peer or social pressures of our culture. And so we hang on to loyalties of race and class and ethnicity and family, political party and sexual identity and our religion, proudly proclaiming as it that it is the lifeblood of who we are and we'll never let go. After all of us have said, or maybe some of us have said, or maybe many of us have said at some time, I was born a Baptist, or a Methodist, or a Pentecostal, or an AMEer, or a Republican, or a Democrat, and the list goes on. And I'm gonna die a Baptist or a Methodist. Whatever you weren't willing to let go of. And so we hang on to our stereotypes and our prejudices, our biases, our anger, our rage, our resentment and revenge issues, refusing to let go of those things so that the kingdom of heaven can grow and thrive within us. And yet the kingdom of heaven, according to Jesus, is so valuable that letting go of everything was worth receiving and accepting that kingdom. And so Philip told the transgender eunuch who wasn't allowed to enter the temple or the sanctuary of the temple that nothing could prevent him from being baptized. Paul saw the kingdom of heaven as so valuable that he considered his Jewish heritage as garbage compared to knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection. And Paul reminded those who would have held on to everything they thought valuable in Colossians 3, in chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and in the image of its creator, here there is no Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. And so it is that the kingdom of heaven is worth letting go of everything we think is valuable to us. It's why Jesus said, if anyone would be my disciple, he must deny himself or herself. Let go of the you that you believe is more valuable than the kingdom of heaven in order to inherit, to grasp that which is more valuable than the place where you found it. It's the mustard seed growing to become enormous compared to its original size. It's the yeast touching every part of us, working in us to give us life, getting all deep in our bones. It's the presence of God's Spirit driving us and motivating us to gain more and learn more, to grow spiritually until others looking for shelter of life can find shelter from the dangers of the world and their connection to the kingdom of heaven alive and working in us. But we have to remember, and this is important, the kingdom of heaven catches all kinds of fish. It does. Catches all kinds of people, but they're not all worth keeping. That's a hard lesson. Judgment day is coming. And we must keep in mind that the parable Jesus told about the tares sown in the wheat field, because they looked so much like the wheat that it was difficult to tell them apart. And the danger was hurting some of the wheat that had been mistaken for tares. The truth is, even in a world where the kingdom of heaven is secretly and silently and privately manifesting itself, there are still evil people in the world. There are still people who come before us as wolves in sheep's clothing. There are still people who are pretending to be members of the kingdom, but who are merely putting on a show for themselves in an effort to fool us and God. But God is not mocked. For each of us must stand before the judgment seat of God, and it's in the presence of a just and mighty God that our future will be determined. The best thing we can do is make certain we're not putting up a false front and live trusting in the name of Jesus, not standing on our own righteousness, but leaning on the everlasting arms of him who is trustworthy and true. That's why Jesus asked us, as he asked the disciples, do you understand? Do you understand? He asked that question because understanding the transformative power of God's kingdom within us gives us the power to connect the treasures of the old law with the immeasurable worth of the new grace. This connection enables us to teach others the truth about the connection between law and grace and judgment and redemption. It enables us to make the connection between God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, the law and grace and judgment and life eternal. So realize the kingdom of God Realize the kingdom of heaven in you. Understand that it may not be noticeable to anyone and it may not be visible to everyone, but it's within you, growing, shaping, and touching every part of who we are. Maybe that's when asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus is quoted in the Gospel of Luke saying, the kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be seen or observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For in fact, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. It's within us, among us, working silently and invisibly within us. The kingdom is within us, growing, expanding, becoming more powerful as it grows. It's not a place, but a reality in which we understand and recognize the connection between the old and the new. It's a reality in which we are empowered to realize the kingdom of heaven within us and to bring its comforting, healing message of grace to all of those who choose to come. Jesus' offer still stands. He says to all, come to me, all that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And the kingdom of heaven, if we come to Jesus, the kingdom of heaven will be alive, invisible, growing, powerful, strong, resilient, merciful, loving, forgiving in each and every one of us. And for those who already know the Christ, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Right now, today, at this very moment. And that is the word of God for the people of God.